You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Imagine a world on the brink, a frozen ice age wasteland where survival isn't just hard, it's nearly impossible. Two human species, Neanderthals and Homo sapiens, were locked in a primal struggle, fighting not just for survival, but for the future of humanity itself. Neanderthals had the upper hand, stronger, tougher, and built for this brutal world. In every direct clash, they crushed us. But here's the riddle. If they were so unstoppable, why are we here and they're not? This isn't a story of triumph through cleverness or courage. The truth is darker, stranger, and far more complicated. Our victory didn't come from battles. It came from forces no one could predict. Forces that reshaped the world, turned nature itself into a weapon, and forever changed the destiny of our species. If you missed part one, check the link in the comments below. It's your front row seat to the epic rivalry that brought Homo sapiens to the edge of extinction. And it'll blow your mind how close we came to losing everything. Now in part two, we'll unravel the mystery of what really happened to the Neanderthals. Was it a natural disaster? An invisible enemy? Or something even more profound? Clues buried in bones, ash, and ancient DNA tell a story that will make you question everything you thought you knew about our origins. So buckle up. This journey will challenge your perspective and leave you wondering, were we survivors or just the luckiest species alive? The answers may change everything you know. Let's find out why. Around 40,000 years ago, the Neanderthals' iron grip on Ice Age Europe started to slip. Their dominance, which had seemed unshakable for thousands of years, began to crack, not because of some dramatic showdown with Homo sapiens, but because the world itself turned against them. Enter the Campania Ignimbrite eruption, a volcanic catastrophe in what is now Italy. This wasn't just a regular eruption. It was nature hitting the reset button. Picture ash clouds rolling across Europe, choking the skies, dimming the sun, and turning the already frigid ice age into a full-blown freezer. For Neanderthals, this was a death sentence. They were specialists, big game hunters through and through. Their survival revolved around mammoths, woolly rhinos, and bison. But when the volcanic winter devastated the environment, their prey began to vanish. Their once abundant hunting grounds turned into desolate wastelands, and the Neanderthals had no backup plan. Meanwhile, Homo sapiens were busy proving that if there's one thing we're good at, it's winging it. When mammoths became scarce, we didn't sit around sulking. We pivoted fast. Small animals, fish, plants, insects, if it moved or grew, it became dinner. This ability to adapt wasn't just an evolutionary quirk. It was the difference between survival and extinction. Where Neanderthals saw barren landscapes, Homo sapiens saw opportunities. But as if a volcanic apocalypse wasn't bad enough, the Neanderthals had another problem, one they didn't even know they had. When Homo sapiens and Neanderthals began interbreeding, and yes, there was a lot of that, it wasn't just DNA that got swapped. Diseases, pathogens, and all sorts of nasty bugs came along with the ride. It was the prehistoric equivalent of the Columbian Exchange, except the smallpox blankets were genetic. Here's the kicker. Homo sapiens had evolved in Africa, a hotbed of disease and immunity building. Neanderthals, meanwhile, had spent hundreds of thousands of years chilling in Ice Age Europe, relatively isolated and unexposed to those pathogens. So when we showed up with our immune systems hardened by millennia of microbial warfare, Neanderthals didn't stand a chance. Think tuberculosis, herpes, and other delightful infections spreading like wildfire through their communities. These weren't fights they could win with brute strength. This was a battle on a microscopic level, and the Neanderthals were completely outmatched.
So we move in, cozy up a little too close, leave them with a couple of parting gifts like, oh, I don't know, herpes and the flu, and then act like it's their fault they couldn't keep up. Classy. Humanity. Inventing biological warfare before it was even a thing. Truly an inspiring origin story.
Interbreeding had other consequences too. While it didn't save the Neanderthals as a species, it did ensure they'd leave their mark. Today, people of European and Asian descent carry about 1 to 2% Neanderthal DNA. But let's not romanticize this genetic exchange. These weren't exactly star-crossed lovers forging a new future together. Many of these encounters were likely violent, Neanderthals taking Homo sapiens by force as trophies or mates. It's a grim reminder that evolution doesn't play by modern moral standards. Still, even as their genes merged with ours, the Neanderthals couldn't stop the slow-motion collapse of their population. Disease, starvation, and the relentless toll of environmental changes left them critically weakened. Homo sapiens didn't have to finish them off. Nature was already doing the job. The end of the Neanderthals wasn't a Hollywood-style finale with an epic last stand. It was a slow, grinding fade. Once mighty hunters who had ruled the Ice Age Europe for over 200,000 years became scattered remnants, their power slipping away with every passing generation. And just like that, the Neanderthals were gone, leaving behind fragments of their story, bones, tools, and traces in our DNA. But for all their strength, resilience, and dominance, they couldn't outrun the changing world or the relentless adaptability of their cousins. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of the evidence, let's pause for a reality check. We're talking about events that allegedly took place over 70,000 years ago, a time so far back that it makes the phrase ancient history sound fresh. The fossil records, archaeological digs, and genetic clues we have from that era are like scattered puzzle pieces from a 10,000-piece jigsaw puzzle, and most of the pieces are either missing or got chewed up by the dog. Whether you're a fan of mainstream science, intrigued by pseudoscience, or like to dabble in both after a glass of wine, the truth of what really went down back then is, let's face it, a little murky. Except for the story, that one was mine, everything you've heard so far, the chilling accounts of Neanderthal predation, the near extinction of Homo sapiens, and the savage war for survival is largely derived from a single source. Them and Us, How Neanderthal Predation Created Modern Humans by Danny Vendramini. It's a theory that reimagines the prehistoric world as a brutal landscape where Neanderthals weren't just competitors, but apex predators that hunted our ancestors like prey. But is it true? Science has some strong words. Okay, evidence. Against Vendramini's portrayal of Neanderthals as relentless predatory beasts. Sure, the theory is bone-chilling and reads like a prehistoric thriller, but mainstream research offers a far more layered, even sympathetic view of Neanderthals. It's a version that challenges the darkest elements of Vendramini's narrative. Let's start with the Neanderthals themselves. They weren't the mindless hunters Vendramini described. Archaeological evidence shows they were smart and resourceful. Think more DIY survivalists than soulless predators. Scientists have uncovered advanced tools, personal adornments like necklaces and pendants, and even symbolic art attributed to Neanderthals. Yes, they painted caves too. Take that, Homo sapiens. These creative flourishes hint at abstract thought and self-expression, which sound a lot more like signs of culture than some primal urge to kill anything that moves. Then there's their soft side. Yes, Neanderthals had one. Burial sites and evidence of care for injured group members suggest they weren't just out there clubbing mammoths all day. They worked together, forming emotional bonds and supporting each other in ways that go beyond mere survival. Empathy isn't exactly what you'd expect from a supposed apex predator, right? So, maybe they weren't the prehistoric boogeyman they're sometimes made out to be. Now, about this supposed war with Homo sapiens. For tens of thousands of years, Neanderthals and early humans lived in overlapping territories across Europe and the Middle East. If Neanderthals were regularly hunting Homo sapiens, archaeologists argue we'd find more signs of violent encounters in the fossil record. Broken bones, smashed skulls, something. But the evidence, it points to competition for resources rather than some ancient version of a predator-prey showdown. It's more like rival neighbors squabbling over land than one species trying to wipe out the other. And those injuries on Neanderthal skeletons? Vendramini might call them battle scars, but many scientists have a less dramatic explanation. Hunting accidents. Neanderthals weren't exactly taking down squirrels. They were hunting massive creatures like mammoths and bison with short-range spears. Imagine getting up close and personal with a mammoth. Yeah, not exactly a low-risk gig. Experts compare their injuries to those of modern rodeo riders. Fractures and scars from dangerous work, not prehistoric combat. Turns out being a Neanderthal wasn't just brutal, it was downright hazardous. Now, hang on a second, let's flip the script for a moment and dig into the evidence that gives some weight to Vendramini's theory. Sure, the idea of Neanderthals as apex predators, ruthless hunters, who saw Homo sapiens as their next meal, sounds a bit like the setup for a prehistoric horror movie. But the archaeological record has some hints that make you wonder if maybe, just maybe, he's onto something. First up, the injuries on Neanderthal skeletons. We're talking fractures, puncture wounds, and blunt force trauma. Stuff that mainstream science often chalks up to hunting accidents or the occasional Neanderthal bar brawl. But what if that's not the full story? Vendramini suggests these scars aren't just from run-ins with mammoths or clumsy spear work. They're evidence of full-on, no-holds-barred clashes with Homo sapiens. Think of it as a prehistoric turf war, where the stakes weren't just a territory, but survival itself. Then there's the weaponry. Around 70,000 years ago, Homo sapiens suddenly leveled up their arsenal, crafting throwing spears and eventually bows and arrows. These weren't just fancy new toys, they were game changers. Ranged weapons meant Homo sapiens could keep predators like Neanderthals at arm's length, or more accurately, at spear's length. Vendramini argues that this wasn't just a creative spark, it was necessity. When you're facing a predator who can overpower you with brute strength, staying out of their reach becomes less of a strategy and more of a survival requirement. Makes sense to me. These tools weren't just about hunting mammoths. They were about not becoming dinner yourself. And speaking of brute strength, let's talk about the Neanderthals' physicality. These guys were, in fact, built like tanks. Their muscle-packed frames weren't just for show. They were survival machines capable of taking down massive prey with nothing but primitive weapons and raw power. Vendramini argues that this overwhelming physical advantage could have made Homo sapiens easy pickings. Now, let's be honest. In a one-on-one scenario, the average Homo sapien probably looked like an underfed gazelle facing off against the linebacker. Finally, there's the timing of what's called the Great Leap Forward. Around 70,000 years ago, Homo sapiens suddenly started doing things like painting on cave walls, crafting advanced tools, and organizing in more complex social groups. Mainstream science attributes this to genetic mutations or environmental pressures, but Vendramini's take is a lot more dramatic. He suggests this leap wasn't just evolution doing its thing. It was a direct response to the Neanderthal threat. Picture this. Humanity staring extinction in the face and saying, we better get smarter and fast. All right, now in fairness and to be completely thorough, let's step into the murky middle ground, the evidence that doesn't neatly fit into any one story. These fragments of the past are like a puzzle missing half its pieces. Intriguing? Absolutely. Frustrating? You bet. They tease us with clues but refuse to give us the full picture. Take the fossil record, for instance. Among the remains of Neanderthals and Homo sapiens, we find traces of trauma, fractured skulls, punctured ribs that might have been caused by weapons. Sounds like evidence of interspecies combat, right? Well, maybe. These injuries are rare, and their causes are anything but clear-cut. Were they the scars of prehistoric skirmishes? Clumsy hunting accidents? Or maybe just your standard Fred got into it with Bob over the last mammoth steak situation? The fossils aren't exactly spilling the tea. They're leaving us to piece it together ourselves. Now, let's talk about that great leap forward. That mysterious turning point around 70,000 years ago when Homo sapiens went from surviving to thriving, basically, they became us. Suddenly, we see a symbolic arc, advanced tools, and the beginnings of organized societies. Mainstream science chalks it up to, just a cocktail of genetic mutations, environmental pressures, and social cooperation finally hitting its stride. But Vendramini offers a much darker interpretation. He suggests this wasn't just evolution doing its thing. It was a fight or die sprint forced by the existential threat of Neanderthals. Picture it. We weren't just evolving. We were in survival mode, trying to outwit and outlast a predator that had every advantage. Were we adapting out of necessity? Or was it just the right time for our big brains to shine? The truth, frustratingly, remains elusive. And that's the thing about these gray areas. They highlight the gaps in what we know. Were Neanderthals the terrifying apex predators Vendramini describes, or were they just tough survivors making do in a brutal world? The evidence doesn't make it easy to decide. What we're left with is an enigmatic story, a mix of hard facts and tantalizing maybes, as fleeting and unpredictable as the Ice Age winds themselves. The relationship between Neanderthals and Homo sapiens is anything but straightforward. Like most stories from deep history, the truth is likely tangled somewhere in the messy middle ground. Not a clear-cut tale of predator and prey, nor a rosy picture of peaceful coexistence. Instead, it's a saga of survival, adaptation, and sheer determination in a world that offered no easy paths forward. Neanderthals weren't the mindless predators Vendramini describes, but let's not sugarcoat it. They were formidable. Their immense strength, tactical prowess, and mastery of their environment made them dominant in their time. At the same time, Homo sapiens weren't innocent wanderers, quietly displacing Neanderthals through sheer ingenuity. These were two species locked in a high-stakes struggle for survival, both fiercely resourceful, both willing to push the boundaries of what it meant to adapt. Nature itself likely played the role of puppet master, forcing the two species to inevitable contact and conflict. The evidence hints at fierce competition, fleeting alliances, and even moments of interbreeding. But what if the dynamics were more primal than we've imagined? What if, at least in those early encounters, Homo sapiens weren't the cunning aggressors, but the hunted? What if it was the relentless threat of Neanderthals that forced our ancestors to innovate, cooperate, and create just to survive? After all, nothing drives evolution quite like a brush with extinction. Today, the echoes of this ancient relationship linger within us. The traces of Neanderthal DNA in modern humans suggest not just interbreeding, but a blending of destinies. For me, this topic isn't just fascinating in a distant academic way, it's personal. I've discovered through genetic testing that I carry 2% Neanderthal DNA, which is about 40% more than the average person tested. It's humbling to think that a part of me connects so directly to these ancient beings from thousands and thousands of years ago. It's not just a curiosity about the past, it's a piece of my own story, written in my DNA.
Oh, 2% Neanderthal, huh? Explains the bad posture. And the forehead, Ralph. Let's not forget the forehead. But hey, look on the bright side. It means your ancestors were either irresistible or really bad at running away.
But humor aside, reflecting on this shared history stirs something deeper. It's not just curiosity about the past. It's a subtle, almost primal unease. Perhaps it's the echoes of a time when survival meant constant vigilance, when the other wasn't just an abstract idea, but a tangible threat. Could the fear of outsiders, so deeply rooted in human psychology, have its origins in those encounters with Neanderthals, a predator that looked eerily like us? Vendramini's theory may take a darker approach than mainstream science, but it's a compelling lens through which to view this ancient saga. What if the very qualities we now take pride in, our intelligence, creativity, and capacity for innovation, were forged in the crucible of that existential struggle? In the end, the relationship between Neanderthals and Homo sapiens wasn't black and white. They were predator and prey, rivals and collaborators, sometimes even kin. Their story is one of blurred lines and shifting dynamics, where survival wasn't a right but a relentless fight. And while we may never untangle every thread of this narrative, one thing is clear. The echoes of their world still shape ours, down to the very marrow of our bones. Thanks for diving into this wild topic with me today. I'm Ralph, that's Wendell, and you've just finished another fascinating ride on Divergent History. If you had fun or picked up something new, do me a favor, hit subscribe, share this video, and smash all those buttons that tell the YouTube overlords we're worth watching. Seriously, it's the small channels like ours that need every click to stay afloat in this giant sea of content. But here's the truth. You are the secret sauce of this channel. Your curiosity, your ideas, and your theories make these episodes what they are. So what's your take on this one? Do you have a theory? A question that's been gnawing at your brain? Or maybe just a wild idea we should tackle next? Drop it in the comments. I promise I read them all. Who knows? Your suggestion might just become our next great adventure. And if you're feeling extra generous, consider joining the Divergent History crew on Patreon. Not only will you get some awesome member-only perks, but you'll also help keep this channel alive and thriving. Now remember, together, we're uncovering truths bigger than what they try to sweep under the rug. You are the heart of this journey, and I can't wait to explore the next story with you. So, until next time, stay curious, stay kind, and know that you are truly appreciated. Have a great night.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.